This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Today we have more feedback from Roland, who says,
I agree with your take on enhanced ebooks. I think there might be ways to inexpensively cater to superfans, though, even if it's not going to take off big. Possibly a little extra work can make some superfans happy enough to share, review, and purchase more in the future. It doesn't seem like it could sustain a business, though, and spending too much time and money would take away from what actually matters. I do think that transmedia has a place, but I think books can be a part of that, not vice versa. Watching, listening, and reading are so different that it's too big a gap to ask people to leap. Gamers are already online, so clicking to something special isn't a huge leap, although I'll bet if it's a book, they'll just skip it. Too different and too much different work to read something versus playing or watching. Pemberley Digital has some interesting cross-media stories like Emma Approved, but it's a web series, so asking them to click over to a website of a fictitious restaurant or club, or to the blog of the main character, fashionista Emma, isn't a stretch. Still, this was in 2013. I haven't seen much from them since, so maybe it was a lot of work for not enough money. On the other hand, it appears their shows are heading to TV, so maybe they're just taking their time and going big.
Good points all, Roland, and links to these things will be in the show notes for all of you who want to check out Pemberton and whatnot. You're observing a phenomenon. I think you're exactly right on the gamer thing, though. I would have a caveat that games like Doom and Myst and Dungeons and Dragons and whatnot have spawned very successful book lines in the past. What you want to remember, though, is all the big transmedia properties we know about, whether we're talking about comic books or the Alien franchise, or maybe the big exception is the Star Wars franchise. But with the exception of that one, all of the ones that we know about, even the Star Wars franchise, really, because Lucas built it with an eye towards this, but he wasn't putting his eggs in that basket, they all benefit from what's called the Matthew effect. This is named after a passage in the Gospel of Matthew in the parable of the servants and the talents, if I remember correctly, it's been a while, where Jesus says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It sounds a little harsh, but it's actually one of the basic economic truths that people who are successful, part of the success is not just the fame and the money, it's the opportunity to create more fame and more money. So let's take the Alien franchise, for example. The Alien franchise started off with a little movie that was almost not made. It was only made because Alan Ladd Jr., who was a major science fiction nut, got control of 20th Century Fox and was able to muscle through a green light for a low-budget horror film with a slightly bigger budget. It was so successful that it spawned 8 years later, I think, 6 or 8 years later, it was 8 years later, a sequel, Aliens. And that was successful beyond anyone's wildest dreams, and that led to not just Alien 3 and the Alien vs. Predator films and Alien Resurrection, but to Alien video games, Alien tie-in novels, novelizations of the screenplay, that sort of thing. What happened was once Alien had gotten enough of a footprint in the popular consciousness, the demand for licensed products was there. There was an existing audience that wanted to be served. And there were enough of them that even if it was only the super fans that bought, it was enough to generate gobs of money and to further the expansion of the property. Successful transmedia properties are born, not made. You have to have that initial in with the audience. You have to build your audience first. You have to do something that hooks the popular consciousness. And then, if it's the right kind of property, you have the opportunity to expand it out. It's the same rationale that leads to a novel series when you were just intending to do a single book, but extrapolated over and over and over. You get a good feedback loop going of the properties bringing more people into it, of generating more of a hunger for a thing than you can fulfill. and that gives you an opportunity to branch out into other forms of media. And all the other franchises I've talked about, the Marvel franchises, the DC franchises, the novelization spinoffs from Duke Nukem and Dune and Myst and whatnot, the Dungeons & Dragons video games, Forgotten Realms book series, all of that stuff grew out of a successful core product that was able to tap a root in the popular consciousness and then had the right people overseeing it that they could seize upon the opportunity presented by the runaway success. So to successfully do transmedia, you need those two components. Now, on a smaller scale, you can do like you're suggesting and service the superfans. And if you've got a way to do that at a low enough cost in time and money, that's always a good idea. Your fans are your life. You want to keep them happy. You want to keep them coming back. You want to keep them wanting more. It's the soap opera formula. The soap opera formula for every episode is make them laugh, make them cry, and make them wait. And you'll notice, for example, going back to the Alien series, every Alien film was kind of open-ended. Alien 3 was less open-ended than the others, but each one of them was open-ended in so far as you didn't know if the aliens were done yet. Because at the end of the first one, yeah, Ripley killed off the alien, but she might not make it home. And there was still that big reservoir of eggs on LV-426 that was just itching to cause trouble. And you had already established that the company wanted these creatures for its bioweapons division. You go to Alien 2, well, Alien 2 explodes that particular box of dynamite and takes it to fantastic places. And you get to the end of that, and it seems like it's all done, but there was the opportunity that maybe there was an alien still on the ship, and there was still the question of where did the aliens come from? And you still have in the background this highly motivated company that's wanting these creatures for its bioweapons division. And with that kind of an open-ended hook, you can extend that story over and over, and as long as the extensions satisfy the expectations that you created in the earlier properties, they're going to generate more audience mindshare as opposed to less. Now, you can hit a point of diminishing returns if the quality falls off, or if the cultural moment passes, or if a whole bunch of other things go wrong. Enough misfires and people will stop paying attention to you. For example, look at the last few Star Wars films. An example of one misfire after another. A lot of people were happy with them, but they didn't have the kind of deep mass appeal that the original Star Wars films and the expanded universe did, and even, though it was less of an appeal, the prequels. The new Star Wars films have sort of tried to tell smaller and different kinds of stories that used to be reserved for the expanded universe novel series, and they've tried to do it in a way that would make them more broadly appealing, and what they've done is they've lost the core audience, but they haven't made up for that in expanding into a more secular audience. Secular meaning broader non-sectarian people that weren't Star Wars devotees before. They might have just heard of it and thought it was kind of cool. And that's the kind of risk you run when you're far enough down the road of a transmedia property. But in terms of a small creator, transmedia properties are difficult to pull off. They're not impossible, but you have to first build that core audience, and you can only do that by telling stories that satisfy. And if you're making your audience go through various media in order to get a complete story, which is what a lot of de novo transmedia properties try to do, you're going to lose your audience and you could do your career some serious harm. It's a very good comment. Thank you, Roland. And generated some great discussion. Well, that's it for today, but keep sending in your feedback and questions and we'll do a lot more of this. And until then, I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.